Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and man, has it been a hot few days recently. Past 110 up to 113 or higher. Wow, it's just been really hot. And on top of all of that, for some reason, the other day, I don't know what I did, if I sat wrong or if I moved wrong or I did something wrong, but my back has been giving me a hard time, and not so much when I'm walking or, you know, laying down or even sitting, but when I go to get up. So I'm sure if you some have been there and done that. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's kind of the way it is. So this broadcast will probably be a little bit shorter this week. I wanted you to turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 talks about the tongue to start off with. And he's actually talking about not many of you should presume to become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. In other words, the words that we use to teach many people are going to be judged in a more strict way than maybe just a one-on-one kind of a thing. But we're going to all have to give an account for our words one way or another. He goes on to say in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could say, yep, I'm never at fault in what I say? Sorry, I can't say that. I would like to be able to say that, and I strive to do that, but I know it's very difficult sometimes. And, you know, it's something we have to constantly be aware of, and that's partly why the scriptures are there. They're there to warn us. They're there to teach us. They're there to encourage us and to help us to realize what's good and what's bad in this life and what God expects and wants people to do and what he doesn't want them to do. And so it goes on to say in James chapter 3 starting in verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, so using those two comparisons of a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a ship to direct the course of the horse or the ship, in verse 5 it says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Okay, he uses another example. I mean, raging forest fires can start with the smallest of sparks. Verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Okay, because it's inward, right? I mean, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the tongue is going to follow what's inside. If the inside of our life is bad, then our words are going to be bad and evil. If the inside is good, then our words are going to be good and wholesome and right. And so it's our choice how we are going to speak. And it's our choice who we're going to allow to influence us more, the Holy Spirit of God in our life or our flesh. He goes on to say in verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, you certainly can't do that on your own, but you can certainly bring it into control with the Spirit of God in your life, can't you? And, you know, even a wild creature, it can be tamed, but, you know, it's still a wild animal, and so you got to be careful about it. And so our tongue is the same way. It can be taught. Our inward man, our thoughts, our spirit can be renewed by the Holy Spirit, and He can help us to tame the tongue if we choose to let Him. But, you know, without His help, it ain't going to become tamed. It's full of restless evil and full of deadly poison. And I'm certainly sure that we can say that about others that we've hurt in our life. And, you know, even ourselves at times where we know, wow, you know, my tongue didn't speak the right thing today. It didn't say the right thing. And so he goes on to James in James 3 and verse 9 and says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. In other words, James, like, why do we do that? Why do we do that? We praise God on one hand, and then we curse human beings who are made in God's likeness on the other hand. He says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James gets right to the point. That's why many preachers, teachers like the book of James, because it's just practical, and it's just, boom, here it is. And he says, listen, okay, we praise God, and then we curse our brothers. He goes, this should not be. Okay? And he goes on to use a couple more examples. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, we need to change the kind of spring we are. We need to change what kind of fruit we're bearing. And we can do that only through the power of God in our life. And that's what's so awesome about it. We don't just have to have an unbridled, untamed tongue that's just reckless and pierces like a sword and is like poison and destroys people's lives. Our tongues can be a little different. So let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he's kind of reminding them of the same thing, that, listen, we're no longer a part of this world, okay? And we can't continue to live in it like we're just a part of it. He goes, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Okay, it's not God's fault. They've hardened their hearts. And when we harden our hearts, God allows us to be hardened. Okay, and God gives us over, just like it says in Romans 1. God gives us over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And so, you know, if we find ourselves start doing that, then we need to go, wait a minute, I don't want a hard heart. We don't want to be like in verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. Okay, that's the world, but God's people shouldn't want to be like that. And frankly, even in the world, there's a line or a limit of disgustingness and impurity and greed where people say, hey, enough's enough. Why? Because all of us were created with the Spirit of God. All of us have the likeness of God in our life, as it were. We have His breath. He created us. Okay, and so all of us can choose to do good, or we can choose to do evil. He goes on to say in verse 20 of Ephesians 4, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's like, you are taught to put off the old self. In other words, take it off like a dirty shirt. Or a shirt that you just worked out in, and woo, you can't even stand yourself. It's so bad. And so it's like, yuck, I got to get rid of this. Or, you know, whatever it was that you got on yourself. Maybe it was gasoline or some other really strong, potent thing. They're like, oh, I can't stand it. It's just right there all the time. I got to get this shirt off. Okay? Take off that old life. Take off that former way of life, which is being corrupted by deceitful art. Put it away and put on the new self, which is to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There again, it's a choice. Each one of us has choices, not only in the words that we say, but in pretty much everything that we do. Now, I want to read verse 29. We're going to jump down to verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We're going to talk about that when we come back. But for right now, I want to listen to our song this morning. This is by Sandy Patty and Lionel Harris, called More Than Wonderful. It's a song about Jesus. I want you to know that He is more than wonderful, because He saves us from our sins, and He brings us out of darkness into His wonderful life, so that we can live a life that is to be like God's in true righteousness and holiness. Praise the Lord. Let's listen to this song here.
Promise and so-
What a great song. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for how wonderful he is and for all that he's done for us. Thank you for salvation in him. Thank you for the promises that are through him. And Lord, we just ask that you'd bless the rest of our time here this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it directs us. Thank you for how it teaches us. Lord, may we learn these things and put them into practice in our lives, and especially when it comes to our tongues, Lord. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, first of all, let's talk about those unwholesome words, the unwholesome talk that comes out of your mouth. Okay, we can say that, but in order to be able to identify it, we need to narrow it down a little bit. First of all, what's unwholesome talk? Okay, we need to know what unwholesome talk is, so that if it does start coming out of our mouths, we're going to recognize it and we're going to put a stop to it. Okay, because that's the only way that we're going to recognize it. What does unwholesome mean here? Well, really, the Greek word that's used here is a word that means rotten, okay, useless, unproductive. Okay, it's like if you're gonna reach into the apple dish and you get a nice big red apple and you reached in there and you pulled out one, it was all rotten and maggoty and smelly and black and you're just like, yuck. Because you expected a nice juicy apple and yuck, here's this rotten, unwholesome apple. Okay? It would be the same way. Now, I know a lot of people don't like seafood, and I don't particularly care for the raw seafood sushi stuff. I know a lot of people love it. My kids love it, and I've just never really cared for it. So, but anyway, you know, fish is one of those things that it smells bad anyway. But have you ever smelled a rotten fish? Wow, have you come across the fish on the beach that's been laying there in the hot sun or whatever? Woo-hoo-hoo! Or the stuff that they throw out overnight? The church building's right over here by a little place called Hot and Juicy that does crawdads and Louisiana kind of stuff and whatever on the weekends. It's packed in there all the time. I mean, not so much anymore, but people still get all kinds of takeout. And man, when they throw all that stuff out in the garbage the next couple days and you walk by there, it's like, woo! Okay, so we understand the idea of rotten, don't we? Or useless or unproductive, okay? So this is the kind of stuff. Don't let any rotten, unwholesome, useless, unproductive words come out of your mouth. Yeah, oh, you're getting too close to the corn, John. That's what they used to say, I guess, back in agricultural societies. Yeah, you're plowing a little too close to the corn. All right, well, yeah, but we need to hear this, folks. It's part of the Word of God. Okay, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay, so what is unwholesome talk? Well, let's talk about it. I'm sure we can name a whole bunch of other things, but here's just a few. Calling people names. Okay, calling people names. Putting people down with insults. Okay, that's unwholesome talk. It's not necessary. Okay, name calling, put downs, insults. Okay, now, there may be a time and a place when there's no other way that you can get through to a person, when you have tried to be gentle and you've tried to reason with them and you've tried to teach them and everything else. And finally, it just gets to the point where even like Jesus, you say, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers, okay? It was the only thing that they could understand. Even in his saying those things, he was still trying to help them. He was still trying to get through to them. It wasn't just a name calling. It wasn't just a put down or an insult. Okay? Do we understand that? We're not going to take a lot of time on these, but just to get you to think of some things. How about labeling people? I hear this going on all the time, even in the church. Labeling people. Labeling groups of people. Labeling political groups. Labeling this. Labeling that. Quit the stereotyping already. Quit it. I mean, we can all be guilty of it, especially if we say it with a little sarcasm in our voice, you know? Oh, those people, or those party, or whatever it is, okay? Quit it with the labeling, quit it with the stereotyping, the sarcasm, and the ridicule, and the mockery, okay? Really? Again, I mean, how is that going to be helpful for building others up according to their needs, okay? Sarcasm has a place. but not when it's sarcastically trying to tear somebody up or ridicule them to bring them down or mock them or make fun of them. Okay? This is unwholesome talk, friends. Okay? What about when you blame people? Okay? Blaming people, accusing people. If you're going to accuse somebody of something, it better be true. But too many people do all kinds of blaming and finger pointing and they exaggerate their stories. Okay? They make it out like that person was so bad and boy, they come out smelling like a rose. Usually the rose is wilted and it's rotten too. Okay? So don't, when you're blaming or accusing, don't do that, especially unnecessarily. Okay? If something needs to be exposed, the Bible says have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them. But that's a lot different than trying to get somebody in trouble by blaming them or exaggerating what they did to get them in trouble. Okay, that's unwholesome talk. How about griping and complaining? Oh, we never do that. Yeah, right. Okay, griping and complaining, that's unwholsome talk. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help anybody else around you. Philippians 2:4 says we're to do all things without grumbling and complaining. Why? Because we're to take it all to the Lord. Because he can handle it. He's got big enough shoulders. And he knows the ins and outs of all of it, and frankly, it'll get us out of the anxiety and the grip of griping and criticism anyway. But that's unwholesome talk, griping, complaining, destructive criticism. In other words, there is good criticism. There is constructive criticism where you're trying to help somebody. But when we just criticize and we do it to vent or we do it to tear down or we do it to injure, that's unwholesome talk. Okay, just critical, 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 critical of everything. And just sneer and oh boy, really? Okay, how about angry words? You know, when we get angry and we just say angry words or we make threats or we threaten revenge. Okay, that's all unwholesome talk. Okay, there's nothing wrong with getting righteously indignant. There's nothing wrong with getting angry about what's right. But the Bible says even in your anger, don't sin. In other words, the way that you're speaking and what you're speaking. Okay? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Okay? Tear down words. Things that just tear people down. Things that are designed to just goad and prick and tear down and make them feel bad. Okay? And a lot of times people do this. You know, they tear down. They bring up things from the past. You know, the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. But man, some people use their mouth to just, they just keep remember when you did that to me? Remember when you said that to me? And they do it to stay in control. Or if they start losing an argument, they bring up these kind of tear down words from the past to stay in control. Because it'll shut the other person up temporarily when you remind them of their sin. Okay, that's not the way we're to be. May it never be. Okay, just like James says, this should not be. Okay, but it's up to us to recognize these kind of words and do something about it. Deception, lies, okay? There shouldn't be any of that. Put off falsehood. Speak truthfully, okay? Don't lie, even in jest. Some people say, oh, you know, I'm just kidding around. It's a lie. Don't tell lies, okay? Bottom line, God is truth. You tell lies, you're speaking the language of the devil. Don't tell lies. Don't try to deceive people. Don't try to be deceptive, okay? Don't do it. It should not be. That's not the kind of speech that should be coming out of our mouth. Lies and deception, half-truths, all that stuff. It's just unwholesome talk. It has no place in our mouth. Manipulative speech. We try to manipulate and get somebody to do it. Oh, come on. You know, if you really loved me. Manipulative, unwholesome, rotten speech. And usually it's just for their own selfish, greedy purposes. Okay? No. No manipulative speech. We're not trying to manipulate anybody. Our job is to get in front of people anyway and say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said. But put it with the manipulating and, oh, well, if you don't do this, you know, I'm going to tell on you. Don't do that. Okay? Kids do that all the time. Guess what? Adults do too. Okay? Quit the manipulative speech. Okay? And gossip and slander. Man, how ripe is that? And boy, everybody likes a good gossip or a good slander. It shouldn't be. If we're going to say something good, we're going to say something good about someone, not something bad. We shouldn't try to tear them down or ruin their reputation or slander them. It's not like any of this is happening in the news, right? Terrible, okay? It shouldn't be. In the mouth of a Christian, it shouldn't be, period. Profanity, obscenities, coarse talk, filthy talk, coarse jokes. Okay? Sexual jokes, jokes with innuendo and flirting and all this stuff that just kind of, you know, skirts around, but ooh, you know, it's suggestive and ooh, it's titillating and whatever. Come on. That has no place in the mouth of a Christian. Okay? Our words are to reach out and build people up, to point them to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdom of the devil, this world. Okay? So do you see how many? I mean, we can probably go on and on, right? And I said this is going to be a short program. Apparently not. All right? But seriously, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Let's go through one more time. Name-calling, put-downs, insults, labeling, stereotyping, sarcasm, ridicule, mockery, blaming, exaggeration, griping, complaining, destructive criticism, angry words, threats, revenge, tear-down words, especially from the past to stay in control, deception, lies, manipulative words, gossip, slander, profanity, filthy talk, coarse jokes, obscenity, innuendo, flirting. Whoa! Is that enough to work on for a while? Yeah, for the rest of our lives, I think, right? So this program is specifically to help us to recognize unwholesome talk. Now, I'm going to end it on a more positive note, and then next week, Lord willing, we're going to focus on the last part of the first, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So just think, though, if just you and I, and let's narrow it down, if just you, or if just I, let me narrow it down to me, if I would make sure that none of that stuff ever came out of my mouth, do you think I'd be probably happier as a person? Do you think I'd be more settled? Do you think I'd be as agitated or anxious or you know? I mean, and then think about the influence I might have on other people if I stopped doing these things, okay? Me, not somebody else. Don't be saying, yeah, husband, yeah, wife, yeah, kids, yeah, whatever. You take the splinter out of your own eye so you can take the log out of somebody else's. Okay, and I need to do the same thing. But all of these unwholesome things that come out of our mouth, they tear down things. Just think how much better marriages would be if we wouldn't let any of those things come out of our mouth. Just think what kind of relationships between parents and children there would be if we didn't let that stuff come out of our mouths either way. Between siblings, how would that be? Relationships in the church, how would that be? How about between employers and employees if we treated each other right? You know, I knew a manager out at UPS, threat. Every other day it seemed like he was saying, I'm going to fire you. It's like, come on, really? How does that encourage people to do what's good and right? All right? But let's be the kind of people that do what's right, even between employers and employees. Hey, politicians, wow, wouldn't it be nice if they didn't do any of that stuff? Yeah, be really nice. But hey, how about if we do it towards ourselves, especially when we're talking about politics, right? Please? Okay, brothers, this should not be. All right, let's use things that are coming out of our mouths that are helpful for building others up. So let me read this poem just in closing. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill, a brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way, a joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress, a loving word may heal and bless. Which kind of tongue do you have? Which kind of tongue are you going to have? Which kind of tongue does God want us to have? I think it's pretty obvious. Okay, so let's be aware of our tongues, people. Let's be aware of the things that are coming out of our mouths. Okay, I remember, I've probably told you this before, but there used to be a barbecue place in Cheyenne, Wyoming. They'd come during Frontier Days every year. And I can't even remember the name of it, but their moniker was, "Put some South in your mouth." Oh, man, it was good, too. It was excellent barbecue. And we'd get it every year because it was so good. It's a little expensive, and so I'm glad it was only once a year. But, oh, put some South in your mouth. Well, as God's people, we need to get some encouraging words in our mouth instead of all this unwholesome talk. May it never be, James says. Okay, will you do it? Will you challenge yourself? You know, yeah, everybody else around you needs to be challenged too, but challenge yourself first. Take the splinter out of your own eye so you can see the log in someone else. And be a person that leads and influences when it comes to speech rather than being the one that's always doing the wrong thing all the time. Hey, thanks so much for listening. again, we are the Church at Las Vegas. We meet together at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. Now, we're not just publicly open to anybody that wants to come at this point because we have a limited amount of space, okay? We've got a 50-person limit from our government, and we want to try to abide by that. With the size of our building, it actually works really perfect when we social distance and we wear masks on the way in and out and otherwise that, you know, it works good. But we have a limited amount of space. So if you do want to come and worship with us publicly or come and get to know us, go to our website, which is thechurchatlasvegas.com. It's all spelled out, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And when you get there, go to the Contact Us tab. Go down to the bottom and click on Contact Us, and then leave us your name, your email address or phone number where I can text you back, the number of people that you're planning on bringing, and then whether you'd like to come to our 8:30 or 10:30 service. I'll get back to you with further instructions and let you know if we can accommodate you this week. It's kind of much, pretty much on a first come, first serve basis. But we do want to worship. We do want people that maybe don't know Christ to come. Please, we're not closed down. But we are doing things on a limited basis. So, again, thechurchatlasvegas.com under the Contact Us tab and leave us that information. So, hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. God bless you. Stay cool. Stay safe from this coronavirus. Do things. We always used to say at UPS, be safe by choice, not by chance. So you do the right things as best you can. And let's have a great week in the Lord. Keep standing on the solid rock. The rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.